I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, 12:30, and what a good day it is to be a UVU fan after back-to-back NIT wins on the road, both by double digits, in one of the hardest places to play in all of college basketball, going to the Pit and beating New Mexico by 14, and then fresh off a 12-point victory on the road against Colorado. Now, UVU will host the quarterfinal in the NIT against Cincinnati coming up on Wednesday. Head coach Mark Madsen, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Hans? What's up, Scotty? Thanks for having me on the show today.
Happy to do it, man.
Dude, we're fired up for you. I watched, I call Utah State games, so I see a lot of New Mexico, and I know how hard it is to go and get a win there at the Pit. Obviously, going to Colorado. Just talk about your team's performance over these last couple games and how proud you are of these guys.
Well, I can't say enough about just the way the guys are playing. You know, I'll start with Justin Harmon. He's just elevated his level of play even more from, you know, his body of work so far, which has been extremely high. He had a Euro step last night in the Colorado game late. I'm yelling at him. It's late game, and we're trying to burn clock, and I'm yelling, bring it back out, bring it back out. He drives in there. Has an unbelievable Euro step, puts it in with his left hand. And then as a coach, you just say, then you start clapping.
No. Yes.
It was just a beautiful left-hand flip in traffic, too.
Exactly. So that was fun. And then Trey Woodbury has just been such a key to this team. Ever since he got here 4 years ago, he transferred in from UNLV. You know, he basically is a freshman, averaged 1.1 rebound down there. Didn't get a ton of minutes, but he just worked on his game every single year, and he was first team all conference. His final game, his final regular season game here at UVU, he got a triple double, and Trey Woodbury just makes everyone around him better on the court with his passing. You know, we debated all summer, hey, do we move him to the point guard spot? He's such a good passer. And our concern was, hey, these little guards are going to get under him and they might be able to take the ball from him, but nobody can take the ball from him. And he's really shown pro scouts that he can play the point guard at a high level, which is exciting.
So, Coach, I wondered what your tactic was, because these guys are on fire and you can see that they're committed to winning. I wondered what your tactic was to help them shake off that rough conference loss, that conference tournament loss. How did you handle that with the guys and get them ready for this NIT tournament?
You know, it was a crazy game. We had all the momentum in the first half, and we probably had all the momentum for part of the second half, and then Southern Utah just stormed back. They did a phenomenal job, and they took all the momentum. You know, it's a game of runs, and, you know, they did a great job, and they won the game, and it was devastating for us. And I think, you know, as players, as coaches, we all – the frustration, what we felt was not good, you know. And so, first of all, we took time to decompress. We let the guys go for 2 days and just, you know, these guys are under a lot of pressure, academics, social, basketball. And then, to be honest with you, we just addressed that we lost and we moved on. We didn't talk about it, you know, because we have all summer to talk about it. we have all summer to talk about things we could have done differently. We just really focused on the next steps, which was we knew we were going to the NIT. Let's come out and have phenomenal energy in the NIT.
You know, it's interesting. Ironically enough, I was watching the post game at the podium in the Mountain West when New Mexico lost, and Richard Pitino was talking about how it's like, look, you know, this hurts now, but if you can get past that first game in the NIT, then you get your mojo back and you start to steamroll a little bit. But it's about wanting to be there, and sometimes there's teams that don't want to be there. And I think it would have been very easy for your team to have that kind of attitude, but for them to be able to flip the switch and embrace the moment has really been fun to watch. Does that come from you, or does that come from inside the locker room with your leadership inside that locker room?
I think it comes from inside our locker room with the team leadership. You know, it's funny. I think every team has to come out with great. Everyone wants to make the NCAA tournament, every single team. And, you know, we go down to New Mexico. We leave on a Monday night for a Wednesday game because of flights. And so we practice in the pit on Tuesday. And you know, as coaches, we basically are cutting down. We've cut practice down dramatically. Yeah. Phil Jackson would be proud, you know. We've cut it down to a 40-minute practice. But what was interesting at New Mexico is after practice, there's a ramp that goes – there's a tunnel ramp in the pit in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And it's kind of iconic, you know. But after practice, everyone – Ethan Potter started taking a ball and rolling it up the ramp to see if he could throw the ball all the way to the top of the ramp and into the – leveled off hallway on the top, and he couldn't do it. So then our whole team goes over to the ramp and starts trying to throw the ball up the ramp. And guys were laughing, guys were joking, guys were having fun. And, you know, it's, you know, they're not shooting free throws, they're not shooting threes, but they were having fun and they were loose and they were relaxed. And so we just sat back and watched them for 30 minutes throw that ball up the ramp, and just the positive energy and the positive vibe. I think the guys doing something that wasn't basketball really helped them.
So, Coach, we're seeing quite a few upsets in this year's NCAA tournament. We're seeing you guys do what you're doing, running through Colorado and getting a really solid win. And I was on with Jake Scott a little earlier. He does the show right before us. And we're talking about philosophies as coaches moving forward, either building freshmen and trying to build some continuity or bringing in transfers. What is your theory or what is your concept that you try to apply as you're building your talent? Do you look for those freshmen, or are you more looking for the portal?
You know, that is a great question. And it just got more complicated 3 or 4 months ago, because of some rules about what it means to take a transfer from another four-year institution. If you take a transfer from another four-year institution, if they get hurt, if they decide to stop playing basketball, their scholarship is on your books for the total remainder of the five-year eligibility period. And
wow.
So that's new. Yeah, that's new, and no one's talking about that yet. And so, really, our philosophy – so basically, taking a four-year transfer right now just got a little bit riskier. Not a lot riskier, but a little bit riskier. But anyway, our philosophy here is definitely utilize the transfer portal. Definitely sign the best players out of high school in Utah that you can. You know, we have a number of offers out to Utah players. A number of them, and we hope to sign some of these high school seniors here shortly, in the next, you know, 1 to 1.5 months. And so we really try to build organically and also the transfer portal. Ethan Potter went in the game last night. He entered the game. He missed his first three-point attempt. Then he nailed two of them. And Ethan Potter was player of the year in Utah. He's a redshirt freshman, and it helps to have a young guy like Ethan Potter on this roster that comes in and makes a difference.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, We relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, if you're not allowed to talk on this, feel free. But, you know, I'm just looking over your roster overall. Is Trey Woodbury, is he eligible for a medical redshirt because of last year? I know he played those last two games, but is that something that you'll work with on the NCAA on him?
That is the question of the hour, and we will be pushing that as hard as we possibly can, mainly to give Trey options. Trey's going to be able to go pro right now really easily, and, you know, hopefully on an NBA Summer League team, you know, hopefully, you know, maximizing his talent to the highest level potential. But we are exploring that aggressively, and we have nothing to discuss on that right now, but we'll see how that unfolds.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because if somehow he decides to come back and you earn that, I mean, this team for the most part could be fully, you know, for the most part back intact for another run next year.
Well, it's exciting, and it almost sounds like you've been in our coaches' meetings, you know. But the other thing I'll say is here at UBU, the fan support and the support in the community has been overwhelming. The NIL deals that have come out of the woodwork for our players has been really gratifying to see. And, you know, there's a debate, should players get paid or not? The bottom line is Congress changed the rule, so players can now get paid. And to see the community members step forward with NIL opportunities for our players, to see a big collective being formed, that's already formed, actually, it's exciting because Jared Sumption has always said he wants to be at the forefront of the NIL movement. Everything within the rules. And we're kind of seeing that here at UVU in terms of the forward thinking and really the enthusiasm of the UVU supporters to you know, come forward with NIL opportunities.
Speaking of that fan base and that fan support, coming up Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at the UCCU Event Center, I got to think this is the biggest game that'll ever be played or have been played in that event center in its history, with Cincinnati coming in and in the situation that you're in. I got to imagine the fans are going to be flooding in support. At least that would be my hope, Coach.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, as every game has passed, I mean, you just look up there in the stands and there's a sea of green up there. You know, it's almost like the Green Lagoon up there. I mean, it's you talk about passionate fans. I mean, it's been overwhelming to see the support that our players have developed in this community. And I think it could be close to a sellout.
So, you know, we talk about transfer portal and adding players, and you lose, you know, obviously a just an incredible player to Texas Tech in the transfer portal going into last year. And I remember talking to the staff at Utah State, as you know, I call their games, and that was your first game of the year. And they said, hey, this kid from Akron, we're a little concerned about him. He might be a problem, and he didn't play a lot at Akron, but all of a sudden he steps out on the court, and you have an elite rim protector and a guy who's crazy, you know, has a crazy offensive game in Mandego. Talk about that recruitment process and bringing him in and his development, because it seemed like from day one he was already making a huge impact on the court.
Well, Aziz, you know, we vote on team captains every year on a piece of paper that everyone fills out anonymously, and we also put down who are the hardest workers on the team. What's our best lineup? A bunch of questions. Aziz Bandego was voted unanimously by his teammates, by his peers, as the hardest worker on the team. Just always in the gym, always working. He went from 215 pounds at 10% body fat to 230, 6% body fat. And so the guy just works. Now, anytime a guy averages 3 points and three rebounds, which is what he did at Akron, and he doesn't play minutes, you always want to know why. Why is he not playing more? And so we have relationships with Akron. So we called over, and he was playing behind. He was playing behind a guy that he didn't win player of the year, the guy he was playing behind, but he was probably runner up as player of the year in that conference. And so Aziz was stuck behind a really, really good player. And so that's why the minutes weren't there. We know we have a relationship with the NBA Academy in Senegal. And by the way, the NBA is opening up a second academy down in the South Africa area. And so we called around, and we knew how good Aziz was. And so when he put his name in the portal, we flew out there immediately to meet with him. You can't meet on campus, but we met just off campus, in the off-campus housing. And it was a good meeting. I was there. And after the meeting, you know, Aziz is a little bit more on the reserved side. And so I wasn't sure how the meeting went. So I'm driving away in my rental car to go to the airport. And I get Aziz calls me. And he says, "Coach, if I come to UVU, can you help me with my braces?" And I said, "Aziz, yes. Let me double check with our compliance person to make sure that this is legal. But yes." And so I hung up. I called our compliance person, Adam Sampson, and I said, "Hey, can we do this?" And he said, "Yeah, you do it out of student assistance fund." You know, he grew up in a particular part of the world where dental care was not prevalent. And so we got that done. And there were little things like that along the way, where little things that were important to Aziz, and we did everything we could to address each one of those concerns.
That's incredible.
Wait, so did he have braces, or he wanted to get braces?
He had braces already. And
okay.
Because he was going to transfer, he just wanted to make sure that there could be a continuation of the dental care. You know, which I mean, hey, it's like I grew up in Danville, California. You grew up going to the dentist. Well, not everyone. That's not the case for everyone, yeah. Depending on where you're from. Yeah. You know, we visited Aziz's parents in his mom and grandmother in the small village where he's from. They're just it's a different. It's a great, unbelievable place, but it's different than where I grew up.
So, Coach Mattson, as this team has this level of success and these guys are playing so well, do you think in your mind, man, I got to get back in recruiting? I got to make sure each of these guys are happy, that I can keep them around for another year. Is that on your mind, just making sure that these guys are happy and willing to stick around and play for you?
No question. No question. You know, that's been a big part of our success, is being able to retain players. And so that'll be a huge priority for us, and we're excited about that opportunity.
Well, Coach, we appreciate it. Good luck. We want to fill that arena for you coming up on Wednesday, because these are really cool moments for your program and the development of the program. You're playing some incredible basketball. Keep it rolling, and hopefully we'll talk here soon about some semifinals. I apologize. I tweeted out last night. I'm like, these guys could be in Madison Square Garden. I didn't know that it had shifted to Vegas, but either way, that'd be a fun game to be a part of.
Vegas would be great, but that's a bummer that we're not going to Madison Square Garden. Who would that?
I know.
The finals are not. That's a bummer. That's a bummer.
Yeah, I had no idea that it had shifted, and I said, "Hey, these guys could be in MSG." And then somebody corrected me on Twitter. I'm like, "When did it shift to Vegas?" But
that is a bummer.
Either way, though, it's a cool moment for your crew, man. Get there, and we look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
Thanks for having us, guys. Take care.
You got it, Mark Mattson, right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.